This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and this morning I'm joined by Kristin Friedrich and Erica Wallover from Public Health. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning.
Very nice to see you. So Public Health in Buffalo is now fully staffed.
We are.
That's wonderful news. I'm sure you are excited because the 2020 onwards, the so-called COVID period was a bit tough. Everybody got a little bit beaten up, I think.
Yes, we did. Public health around the nation took a hit, and we certainly did as well. So it's very exciting that we've got everyone here, and we can run our programs as they need to be run. So
you say you have everyone here.
Yes.
How many staff do you have?
So we have five. We've got someone that specifically does suicide prevention and tobacco cessation. We've got our nurses, and then we have Robin King, who does our emergency preparedness, and she's continually preparing for any kind of emergencies that could happen in the community.
So we talked about COVID. We mentioned COVID, mm-hmm. and, you know, I think everybody thought about public health, and one of the things about public health and COVID was vaccinations, and I know that you were part of a kind of the vaccination program and the rollout, and that's something you still offer, but what else do you do? Is it just vaccinations? I remember bringing my children here for immunizations, but you do more than that?
Yes, we do tons. We certainly do vaccinations, but we do lots of other stuff, a lot of behind the scenes and then a lot of stuff that we can actually offer to the community. So we do STI and HIV testing and education.
Okay, so is that for anybody?
Anybody that wants one. Mm-hmm. Anybody that is just curious or anybody that has a concern. And then if anything is positive, we can also do treatment as well here.
Okay. And do you, that's quite a private concern for people. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you find that there are issues that people have about coming to a small community, coming, getting tested for things that, you know, you really don't want to know whether you have any of those.
Right.
You know, that's awkward and embarrassing. Do you have issues with confidentiality or...
You know, I want to say no. Obviously, anything is completely confidential if you come in here. But for those that are worried, we also have on at-home testing services. So the state provides, it's called NoWio, and you go online to nowio.org, and you can get an at-home test kit sent straight to your house. You do the little test, you mail it back in, and they will call you with the results. Again, if anything were to be positive, they will let us know at Public Health, and then you can come here to get your treatment, and it's easy, and you don't even need to
leave. Because one of the things I think people don't realize about Public Health is that you also are really responsible for a lot of tracking and monitoring and data fielding and so
right.
on as well. Does
mm-hmm.
that take up some of your time?
It definitely does. We do lots of behind the scenes with tracking and seeing different reportable diseases coming all over the state. We monitor those and pay attention to those and make sure that there's not going to be any anything that's going to be harmful to our community. And if there is, we make sure that we can keep it as low of an impact as we can.
So have you seen anything recently?
Not anything out of the norm recently, no.
Okay. I know we had a bad winter with influenza and
mm-hmm.
RSVs, especially with children.
Yes.
Were you very busy with that?
We don't get too busy with that. I mean, we get busy with flu shots, but we see those numbers and we try to do what we can. And in those instances, it's, you know, advocate for hand hygiene and wash your hands, take care of yourself, stay home if you're sick. But
okay. So I know that there are some other programs you have too.
Yeah.
Tell me what else you have to offer.
So we also are able to do blood pressure checks, tuberculosis tests. We have a really cool medication donation program. So if you have any unopened, unused medications that you're not going to use anymore, you can bring them in and we can send them down to the state, and the state is able to redistribute them to whoever might not be able to afford them or doesn't have insurance, things like that.
So with medications,
mm-hmm.
It's not good enough to just throw them in the trash?
So we have proper disposal
methods. Why is that important?
What's that?
Why is that important?
So if we were to just throw them away, essentially they end up in the dump, and then when it rains, they dissolve and they can get into our lakes and waters and essentially into our water stream. And then also, I mean, if anybody were to be playing in that dirt, they could get it in their skin. And some of our medications, that's how they're absorbed, is through the skin. So it's just a little bit dangerous. We have, they're called doTERRA kits. So they're medication disposal kits. So for any expired medication, you can come in and grab a kit and dispose of those medications properly. And then we also have sites in town where you can essentially, it's like a little mailbox, and throw your medications in there. It's a little drop box. It's anonymous.
Where are they in town?
So at the jail. So at the
You go up to the courthouse. Yeah, okay.
The judicial center. They can drop them off there. It's anonymous. Nobody's going to ask questions. So that's another way. And this medication donation program is specifically for medications that are not expired and can be redispensed.
So if I have any medications and I, for whatever reason, I no longer need to take them, I can just bring them here and they're unexpired, and then what happens? They go down to
They go down to the state, and they've got a big pharmacy, essentially, and they log them all, and then they're able to redistribute them to somebody who doesn't have insurance or can't afford their medications or can't find the right thing.
Excellent. And I know you're very focused in child well-being as well, so there's vaccinations and so on, but I think, am I right in thinking that you provide helmets and bike helmets?
We do. We have bike helmets, and they're totally free. We can do bike safety stuff as well. So if there's any kiddos or adults, we can come on in and we can get you a bike helmet. We have proper
for an adult as well?
Yep, we have all sorts of sizes. We even have a few horse safety riding helmets for little kids. So
wow, that's amazing. And I think car safety is another thing, too. I remember seeing campaigns of yours, you know, for, you know, properly fitting car seats and so on. What do you offer with that?
So we have car seats available. We ask for a donation for them, but we're the only place in Johnson County that you can get a car seat. So whoever needs a car seat, we want them to come in. We will work with them. And it's part of our maternal child health program that I'll let Erica speak more on. She's our awesome MCH nurse. But if you have your child's height and weight, you can come in without them and we can get a properly fitted car seat. Otherwise, if you bring your kiddo in, we can weigh them and see how tall they are and get them the right car seat. And then we can also make sure it's installed properly, answer any questions, make sure it's fitted properly to the kiddo. And then on that, too, if you have your own car seat, you're more than welcome to bring that in, and we can make sure it's installed in the car right. We can show you how to kind of maneuver it with kind of funky car seats or anything like that, and how it should be for the kiddo type and weight and all of that.
Because it's one thing having the car seat. It's nothing like as useful, or it doesn't do the job it's intended to if it's not fitted correctly to your car and also to the child.
Right. Yeah. And so we have here at Public Health, we have two certified car seat technicians, if you will. And I believe we're the only ones in Johnson County to have actually certified people to look at these car seats and to install these car seats. So we went through a week-long course about how to properly do this, and it seems like a week-long course to install a car seat, but there really is a lot.
Well, I know that there are multiple car seats, but that is a intense training.
There's a lot more to car seats than we realize, even, you know, as parents doing our due diligence and doing the best we can. There's just so much more behind the scenes. So at Public Health, we can really make sure everything is fitted how it's supposed to be.
Well, and that certainly would bring a great deal of peace of mind, I'm sure,
absolutely,
to parents. So that was a lovely introduction to Erica. Erica, you joined Public Health, I think, just at the end of last year. That you've been here since sort of November or so, is that right?
November of 2020.
Okay, and so what are you doing now you're here?
Yeah, so I'm the maternal child health nurse, so I work for the MCH unit for the state. So kind of my realm is moms, families, and babies. I do lots of home visiting with moms, whether they're expecting or postpartum.
Oh, so prenatal and postnatal care.
Yeah, definitely. So we do have a free nurse home visiting program that I work with. So moms can sign up either prenatally or postnatally.
An expectant mother have to sign up with you, or do you somehow or other get connected into her OBGYN and her and her prenatal care?
So the local clinics, so whether it's, you know, Bighorn Peds or JCHC or Sheridan, they actually have referral forms for public health for the home visiting program. And I believe at least at Johns County Healthcare at the clinic, at their first prenatal appointment, they'll actually get our referral form in the, with their paperwork. And so they can just fill that out, and the clinic will actually fax that over to us.
So pregnancy can be a really exciting time. It can also be kind of scary.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, especially for a first-time parent, you know, you're trying to kind of navigate your way with kind of what's – we all have great ideas of how it's going to be, and then reality may be a little different. What kind of things can you offer to new moms?
So the biggest thing with moms or families or, you know, whoever is expecting that baby, we can kind of just instill confidence and being comfortable with this new chapter of their lives. Because again, especially a first time mom, I mean, it's like unlike anything. And so really we can instill that confidence and being comfortable through education. We talk lots and lots and lots about just what it's going to be like, what labor is going to be like, what pregnancy is going to be like.
Do you offer labor classes?
Not right now, but we can still educate. So we do like one-on-one visits with our home visiting clients. And we can talk lots about, you know, whether they're having a C-section, vaginal delivery. We can kind of walk through kind of what that's going to be like. Mm-hmm. And then one of my favorite parts is walking through those first few days and weeks and months after baby's home. Because newbornhood is, it's something else.
It is. And so, for some women, you know, it's not all at all easy.
Absolutely not.
And, you know, we talk about it more often, but postnatal depression, mm-hmm. is something that I think we've become more conscious of, and it's a very real thing, yeah. Especially maybe with anxiety of, you know, your infant child also maybe contracting something, mm-hmm. you know, an illness of some sort, yeah. Whether it's, I mean, we just came through a very heavy influenza and RSV mm-hmm. Period, you know, I think, thankfully, yeah. I think we've lifted out of that, have we not? But, you know, that it's not all smiles and roses, is it? It can, and the sleep deprivation and maybe issues with nursing or just feeding and so on. Are you able to provide real support for those real world problems?
And so postpartum depression and anxiety, that's actually one of my newfound passions in working with moms, because I feel like it's something that's just not talked about enough. I think we're getting there. But I talked to enough moms, on both, you know, professional and personal level that, who are kind of in it and they don't know they're in it. And so that's something we really, really focus on with moms in that postpartum period is, just their mental health and their mental well-being, because that is huge. And I think a lot of times moms think, I think the term baby blues gets really mixed up, and they think they're supposed to feel the way they are feeling, and it's more than baby blues, and I think it's way more common than what we originally have thought. And then again, so mental health mixed in with, especially if it's a first-time mom trying to breastfeed, breastfeeding can be really, really challenging, and that's one of the other services that we offer is breastfeeding help, breastfeeding and pumping, because it's it can be kind of a challenge, you know, there's things that a lot of moms are concerned about, whether it's pain with nursing, baby's waking, maybe she's worried about her supply, her milk supply. Those are all things that we can talk about with a lactation.
Well, there are two people involved in nursing, aren't there? There's your infant child and there's yourself, and there's a lot of variables that can come into play.
Oh, definitely. And so that's another thing we're trying to really ramp up just in our community, so everyone knows. Breastfeeding, it's absolutely doable. You just sometimes might need a little help just at the beginning to really establish that. And so we're trying to just kind of focus on
Some practical things.
Yeah. So getting moms in here, you know, if a new mom is struggling with breastfeeding, whether she's one day postpartum or a month postpartum or so on, and she's having issues, they can just come in here and we can assess what's going on with breastfeeding. And a lot of times it's just one or two things that need adjusted and kind of problem can be solved. Sometimes it's a little bit more than that, but anything else you want to add with breastfeeding?
No, I think that's awesome. Yeah, we've got two people here who are certified in lactation consulting and can help. And so lots of availability if there's ever people knocking down our door, we can help them.
And so one question that is always asked when it comes to healthcare is, how much is it going to cost me? What happens when somebody crosses the door and asks for your services?
Right. So actually our MCH services are all completely free. Mm-hmm. A lot of our services are free. We do have a little bit of charge for some things like vaccines and stuff. But for any of the programs we do offer, they're available to everyone, whether they have insurance, whether they don't have insurance. And regardless of their financial situation, we want people to come in to public health and get the care that they need. We want them to come in so bad. So we don't want that to be a barrier. So that's something we can work with people for. We're really fortunate that we can be in that position, that we can work with people who need that. And then same thing, if there's anything we ever don't offer or cannot help with, we have tons of resources and tons of connections in the community. So we can help people find what they need if we can't offer it.
And so do you offer anything particularly for seniors?
We do. Typically what we offer for seniors is more towards those blood pressure checks and the TB tests, those tuberculosis tests, because they are connected to certain medications.
I wanted to ask you, you mentioned TB before, and I think, you know, I personally think of it as a rather Victorian disease.
Right.
Why is it relevant now?
We do not see a lot of TB in our state, in our country really at all, but really in our state. There's two different, you can have active tuberculosis or latent tuberculosis. So active is where you're really sick, it's in your lungs, and you're coughing and you don't feel good. Latent is where you have it, but you're not actually sick. And so Wyoming is very proud that really TB cases that we see are, for the most part, in that latent TB. We don't see it, you know, people really, really sick with it. And so what we want to do is catch those latent TBI, latent tuberculosis cases, before they become active. And so we test people that are in kind of those higher congregation settings, maybe they live in a group home, things like that, to make sure that we don't get down that road where we're seeing a lot of active TB cases. So we do tests like that, and, you know, for people who work in healthcare services, things like that, where you have a higher chance of coming across it. But then also there's certain medications that some of our older population typically see more of, where we want them to get a TB test because their medication can almost accelerate a latent TBI case. So if they have that latent TB case where they're not actually sick but it's kind of in their body, certain medications can accelerate that and make it active faster or make them more sick. So we are able to test for that TB to make sure.
Do you offer the shingles shot too?
We do not right now. I'm hoping that's something we can get back. But for vaccines for our elderly population, it's more just the COVID and those flu vaccines.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did want to ask you about vaccines because vaccinations have taken a bit of a hit. I think there was a lot of concern about the COVID vaccine and it was brought in very quickly and there's a lot of very divided opinion about it. Are you seeing sort of more resistance or reluctance, let me say reluctance, for vaccinations across the board?
You know, it's kind of hard to say. I do think kind of around the state in general, flu shots were down this last previous fall. And we're not sure why. We have this new high-dose flu vaccine, and that could be player in it. A lot of people want that high dose, which is great, but public health specifically, we're just getting into that high dose vaccine, and not a lot of public health offices offer that, and so that's kind of why we didn't see quite as many, is people are going elsewhere to get that. Hopefully this year or the next we'll be able to offer that high dose as well.
It may be that many people may have sort of made up their decision about what they think about vaccines. But right. If somebody is unsure, if somebody, you know, kind of just doesn't really know what they think and what they should trust, do you offer some just consultation without somebody having to come and actually commit to a vaccine?
Absolutely. Before any vaccine, we talk to them, make sure they don't have any lingering questions. We kind of give them a rundown. This is what to expect. This is, you know, what's in your vaccine. We have lots of information we can give to anybody wondering. And we do have a lot of those conversations. We often have people coming in saying, look, I'm supposed to get this. Everybody's saying I should get this, but these are my concerns. And we can talk through those. And, you know, you don't have to commit when you walk through those doors to get your vaccine. We can talk about it, and you can come back another day if you want, or not at all, but we're here for all of those questions.
So you don't just provide services, you also provide information.
Yes, that's a huge part of public health. We have lots of information and education, and that's what we love. I mean, we love when people come in with questions rather than coming in, I'm supposed to get this, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. We love when people really think about it. And that's, you know, of all the things COVID brought us, that's one of the great things, is people are thinking about their vaccines now. They're thinking about, what is this vaccine going to do for me, and how is it going to benefit me? And that's what we really love to see.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're extremely busy. Yeah. I had no idea so much happened under this small roof.
Yeah.
Is there anything that we missed out? I'm not sure there could be, but is there anything else that's going on here that you would like to mention?
So actually, the week of April 3rd through the 7th, we have Public Health Week coming up, and we have lots of fun stuff for that. Kind of in this, you know, realm of coming out of COVID and reestablishing our program, we've got a lot of events set up for Public Health Week. We're having an open house on Tuesday. It's April 4th from 3 to 5:30. And, I mean, come in, check out Public Health, bring any of your questions, meet our awesome new staff. We're going to have lots of snacks and goodies. And then the whole week of Public Health Week, we're going to have Facebook giveaways. So follow us on Facebook, come find us on there, and watch out for those giveaways. Those will be lots of fun.
What are you giving away?
We have some kind of different baskets. We've got a maternal child health one, so lots of breastfeeding goodies and goodies for mom and baby. And then we've got one for kiddos that'll have a bicalmid in it and lots of the different safety stuff for that. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a preparedness one. So a really cool, it's like a little radio.
Oh, nice.
Little radio basket. Yeah. Okay. So
for emergencies.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I wish you a wonderful, busy week,
yes.
Seeing lots of new faces and getting lots of new followers. So, Kristen and Erica, thank you very much indeed for spending some time with 307 Net Radio.
Thank you.